Good morning, Bucharest International Church family. We're so glad that you've joined us for our online experience this morning. We just want to continue to encourage you as you participate in these online services, as we continue to move forward with our in-person gatherings. The one that we had this past week was great. Seeing everyone in person was really, really quite an incredible experience to be able to worship together, to just fellowship a little bit afterwards, and to participate in communion as a body of believers was a great experience. And so we want to make you aware that starting next week, June 21st, we are going to resume in-person gatherings here at our community center. They will be at 10 a.m. and we'll be sending out corresponding emails and information to keep you aware, to make sure that we coordinate who's able to come and who is not. And we will also try to continue to do online experience as well for those who obviously are still watching their health, who still cannot come for whatever the reason may be. We want to make sure that the experience is available online as well as in person. And we're gonna do that as the best we can, because as we continue to move forward and the restrictions are lifted and the in-gathering or the in-person gatherings are more consistent, we obviously will have to balance the worship team and the technicians and all that. So we will do our best to continue to do both a live feed and in gathering persons together, but we'll also have to work through any of the technical details, and we'll keep you up to date as to what's available every Sunday. But we just look forward to moving forward, and as the restrictions are lifted, hopefully we'll be able to have full in-person gatherings sooner than later. So we want to dive into God's Word this morning. If you have your Bibles, open up to Romans chapter 5. Admittedly, as I prayed and prepared for today's message, I found my heart and mind again coming to the idea, or not again, but just in light of what we're going through, I guess, coming to this idea of long suffering. Admittedly, it's still hard to prepare a message and not be thinking of the pandemic, this theme of what we've been going through, this life we've now been living for so many months in the midst of COVID-19. The pandemic and the world's response has gone on longer than I think any of us would have imagined. I think if you were to tell me when this all first started, when we were in the first few weeks of this, that on June 14th, we'd still be in the midst of it, eagerly anticipating the restrictions being lifted in the current state that we're in, I don't think I would have believed it. I even saw a YouTube video where there was one YouTube influencer was like made a video to herself about like herself from like a month ago and how much has changed and where the world has come since the beginning of all of this. And our team, we've been focused on trying to spiritually navigate the body, our church through this. You know, we've talked about godly strength. We've discussed certainty in uncertain times. Looking to Jesus in the thick of it, finding assurance in the midst of this, being fruitful in the midst of affliction. These are some of the topics and ideas that we've touched upon and worked through to just spiritually navigate this difficult time for all of us. And so, again, we find ourselves looking at this situation, at this pandemic, how it has changed our lives, how it's changed the world. And we look forward, we look toward the future, and we hope, we pray that things will soon be better, and that maybe things will get back to some semblance of what it once was. You know, when will we see live sporting events again? I know for myself, being a big sports fan, being a huge fan of American football, I'm constantly following the news to see what's going to happen. They're confident the season's going to take place, but there's these thoughts of that the practices will be limited in the beginning, that there's a probability that they might not have any fans in the stadiums, which is such a foreign idea to me. It doesn't even make sense. This idea of no fans in the stands, that would be crazy. I know that, you know, for basketball, the NBA is trying to figure out if they can continue the season. Hockey, the NHL, they're trying to do the same thing. Parents, we are all asking the question, will schools be open in the fall? You know, what is this going to look like in the fall if maybe the numbers don't go down, if things continue the way that they are. You know, those of you who have been working from home, you know, will you be able to go back to the office? When will you be able to go back to the office? And maybe for those of you who have gone back to the office, you know, and you're now in kind of current situations of social distancing and wearing masks, you know, how long will that last? For those of you who unfortunately are finding yourself unemployed, you're asking yourself, you know, when will I be able to look for a job? Am I going to be able to find a job? Will there be a job available in this new economy, this new world, after everything has kind of passed through, maybe as some of the more of the restrictions have been lifted? And there's a lot of questions still lingering in our minds. Yes, we have some more freedoms. Restrictions have been lifted, but there's still a lot of question marks. And questions that are still, I think for some of us, we don't have the answers to. And it's still challenging for us. And so we obviously hope for continual change as we look to even tomorrow, June 15th, when you're watching this, it'll be, it's Sunday the 14th, and tomorrow more restrictions should be lifted, hopefully. Hopefully there will be a change from state of alert, but even that, we're not fully aware of at this point. We have to look to the Romanian government, the officials, to make decisions, to make the changes. And so we're asking ourselves, what is actually going to change? And so that brings us to this idea or this thought of long suffering. You know, we hear these two words and we think to ourselves, yeah, I've been suffering for a long time, Jared. I definitely feel like I've been suffering through this. And obviously, this has affected us in different ways. And so we can understand or we can relate to this idea of suffering. I know for me, you know, there's been times where I say to myself, I'm done with this. I want things to change. I want things to go back to the way that they are. And I know some of those can be very irrational or emotional reactions. But that's what we think of. However, long suffering, it's different. It's not the idea of suffering long or enduring through some sort of trial or suffering. The definition is simply this: having or showing patience in spite of troubles. So, this is a matter of the heart. It is about our attitudes and our actions in the midst of trials, tribulation, and turmoil. And that's not easy to hear. I know for myself, in the midst of everything that's been happening these last few months, I've had multiple times where my patience has worn out, where it's run thin, and I find myself easily agitated, I find myself frustrated with the situation, and really, really in some down moments, some tough moments. So in our current situation, this is even more particular because we are all experiencing something the world has never experienced before, at least in our current culture. This pandemic and how it's affected our lives, how it's changed things so dramatically in such a short amount of time, it's something that none of us have experienced. Many of us have experienced individual trials and tribulations, things that you've experienced that I have not, and vice versa. But this, we're all experiencing it together. It's all affecting us differently. And so it's a very interesting time, and it's a very challenging time. And so, again, we go to God's Word. And I know that I'm a broken record when it comes to this, but in these type of times, in the trials and tribulations, as followers of Jesus, it's important that we be conditioned to run to God's Word. When we don't have the answers, when we are overwhelmed, when we are frustrated, the Word of God is where to go. Because we need a better understanding of long suffering to build up and to renew our patience in the midst of our struggles. Because let's be honest, even though we're in the midst of it, we're still dealing with it, we are going to have to realize that the whole situation with the pandemic, with COVID-19, with coronavirus, this is going to pass. And you know, it will eventually go away. And now, I don't know how that's going to happen. You know, there's science and doctors and medicine behind it, vaccines, the climate, building up immunity. There's all these different variables that will go into us moving past this, but it will happen. And then We're all going to be faced with new challenges, new trials. They could be personal struggles, personal things we're going to have to deal with. They could be with our friends, with our family. They could be at our job. Or again, like we've experienced with this, it could be corporate. It could be all of mankind dealing with another major event. So how do we survive knowing that we're just going to continually keep facing struggles, knowing trials are forever going to be a part of our story? We build endurance to face that next moment, that next challenge. We look at our current situation and our past. We learn to adapt and to grow. We don't allow our situation to beat us down so much that we can no longer get up. And this is what we read in today's verses in Romans chapter 5. We're going to read three verses, Romans chapter 5, verses 3, 4, and 5. So if you have your Bible, just take a look at it together. It reads this from the New Living Translation. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So the first thing we look at this morning in this idea of hope through perseverance is a baseline for endurance. My first thought is a baseline for endurance. To start off, it seems that Paul is presenting us with a contradicting idea. This idea that when we face problems, we rejoice. And if I'm honest, that is not in my human nature and who I am. That's not my first go-to. When I turn the corner of a street while I'm driving and I hit unforeseen traffic, I don't immediately start rejoicing and singing praises. That's not my natural go-to. However, Paul is talking about having an established baseline for rejoicing. And what is that? What does that even mean? Romans, the book of Romans, and in particular, this chapter addresses the idea of justification. So throughout Romans, it's a theme, the idea of justification as well as grace and mercy. And justification is God declaring that we are made right through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. So Jesus' death makes us right in the eyes of God. We're justified. So before we can experience any trials or tribulation, pandemic, unemployment, sickness, death, we should already be rejoicing. If we're a follower of Jesus, if you believe in Jesus and what he did for you, there should be already a foundation of praise because of what he did for each and every one of us. And when we operate from this baseline of rejoicing, this baseline of praise, we will experience what Paul is sharing in this passage of scripture. With praise in the forefront, we have a better chance of growing through our trials. We will have a heavenly perspective during negative situations, and we will spiritually shift from pessimism to optimism when we're focused on the amazing work of Jesus, that he died for us, that he gave us new life, that he offers us eternal life in him, and that even when we make a mistake, his grace and mercy is there to make us right in the eyes of God, and that we're justified and we have justification. And because of that, we have a baseline of rejoicing, a baseline of praise, so that before anything bad happens, we can know deep down in our hearts and in our minds that we have the greatest gift of all. The second thing is anticipating the trials. We need to anticipate the trials. Paul anticipates the accusation that he would probably have when writing this, that he is too pie in the sky. And if you don't know what that saying means, it simply means an idea or something that is pleasant to contemplate, but is very unlikely to be realized. See, Paul isn't spinning out spiritual platitudes. First, he uses strong words. The version we just read out of the New Living Translation says problems and trials. A different version uses the word tribulation. Tribulation better expresses what Paul is getting at here in the scripture. Tribulation is a stronger word. It simply means, or it does not refer to just minor inconveniences, but to real hardships. That's the definition or the understanding of this word tribulation, to put emphasis behind what Paul is truly saying when he's talking about the problems and trials that we're going to deal with. So first, he uses strong language to get his point across. Second, Paul lived a life full of tribulation. Paul knew the truth of this better than most anyone. So Paul is speaking and preaching and teaching, writing and sharing out of experience. He has been in prison for his faith. He has been beaten. He's been shipwrecked. This man knew tribulation. He knew problems. He knew trials. He knew challenges. He knew and could relate to the things that the Roman church he wrote this to were dealing with and the things that you and I deal with. And we read it again there in Romans chapter 5. For we know that they help us to develop endurance. We can glory in tribulations, literally stresses, because they are the occasion to produce perseverance. A runner must be stressed to gain endurance. Sailors must go to sea, and soldiers must go to battle. For the Christian, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, tribulation is just a part of the Christian life. We should not desire or hope for a tribulation-free Christian life, especially because God uses tribulation wonderfully in our life to teach us, to grow us, to show us his faithfulness. God knows how much tribulation we can actually take, and he carefully measures the tribulation that we face. And remember, those who do not follow Jesus, who are not Christians, also face tribulation. Here are some thoughts about this idea of having, of understanding our tribulations. We hear from Spurgeon. He said this: a Christian man should be willing to be tried. He should be pleased to let his religion be put to the test. There, says he, hammer away if you like. Do you want to be carried to heaven on a feather bed? Smith said, I've heard people advise others against praying for patience because God will send them tribulations. If that's the way patience comes, then God, bring on the troubles. I need patience. Martin Luther said, whatever virtues tribulation find us in, it develops more fully. If anyone is carnal, weak, blind, wicked, haughty, and so forth, tribulation will make him more carnal, weak, blind, wicked, and irritable. On the other hand, if one is spiritual, strong, wise, pious, gentle, and humble, we will become more spiritual, powerful, wise, pious, gentle, and humble. Spurgeon again, he puts it this way: tribulation worketh patience, says the apostle. Naturally, it is not so. Tribulation worketh impatience, and impatience misses the fruit of experience and sours into hopelessness. Ask many who have buried a child, or have lost their wealth, or have suffered pain of body, and they will tell you that the natural result of affliction is to produce irritation against providence, rebellion against God, questioning, unbelief, petulance, and all sorts of evil. But what a wonderful alteration takes place when the heart is renewed by the Holy Spirit. Which moves us into verse 4, and my next point, which is spiritual building blocks. Let's read verse 4 again. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. This is a golden change. This is a golden chain of Christian growth and maturity. One virtue builds upon another as we grow in the pattern of Jesus. Most every Christian wants to develop character and have more hope. These qualities spring out of perseverance, which comes through trials and challenges and tough times. We may wish to have better character and more hope without tribulation, but this isn't God's pattern or plan. Me personally, I would rather have God sprinkle perseverance and character and hope all over me while I'm sleeping, because then I could wake up a much better Christian. But that isn't God's plan for me or for any Christian. So we say soberly and reverently, this is what we need to say about trials and tribulation. Lord, bring it on. I know you love me and carefully measure every trial and have a loving purpose to accomplish in every tribulation. Lord, I won't seek trials or search out tribulation, but I won't despise them or lose hope when they come. I trust your love in everything that you allow. Let's look more specifically at what it produces in us, these spiritual building blocks. Paul says that this endurance or fortitude develops character. The word he uses for character is the Greek word dokime. And dokime describes metal which has been passed through the fire so that everything can be purged out of it. When affliction is met with fortitude and character, out of the battle a person emerges stronger, purer, better, and closer to God. And character strengthens our hope. It says it there. Two people can be met by the same situation. It can drive one of them to despair, and it can prompt the other to triumphant action. To the one, it can be the end of hope, and to the other, it can be a challenge to greatness. Lord Reith, who was one of the founding members or an early executive at the BBC, and he was a part in establishing public television in Great Britain, this was what he was quoted. I do not like crisis, but I do like the opportunities they provide. The difference corresponds to the difference between the two people. If a person has let himself become weak, disconnected from God, if they have allowed circumstances to beat them, if they have allowed themselves to whine and complain during trial, then their only reaction to a challenge will be one of despair. However, if a person has insisted on meeting life with their head up, focused on God, focused on his promises, if they have always faced and by facing conquered things, then when the challenges come, they will meet it with eyes full of hope. The individual that has endured the test always emerges in hope. And my final thought this morning is the evidence for hope in verse 5. It reads this, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. The hope that tribulation builds in us is not a hope that will be disappointed. The reason hope doesn't disappoint us is because it rests on the love of God, which has been poured out through the Holy Spirit. Whatever happens, God loves you. Whatever I lose, I have been given, and I have the Holy Spirit. We are assured of this because God has proved his intention to complete his work in us. The proof being the love of God poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Every Christian should have some experience of this, to have a deep inner awareness of God's love for us. Paul's logical arguments in Romans are devastating, but the book of Romans doesn't lack emotion or passionate experiences with God. God's love isn't given to us in a trickle. It is poured out into our hearts. Some Christians live as if it was only a trickle, but God wants us to know the outpouring of his love. This is how God's love is communicated through the Holy Spirit. A lack of awareness of God's love can often be credited to a failure to be consistently filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in God's Spirit. Again, this is words from Spurgeon. He says, "The love of God is like light to a blind eye until the Holy Spirit opens that eye. May the Holy Spirit now be here in each of us to shed abroad the love of God in our hearts." A portion of the Spirit enters our lives when we ask Jesus into our life and when we begin our journey with him. The Holy Spirit in our lives is tangible evidence of God's love for us. The Holy Spirit is the proof we need to have hope in God in the midst of our challenges, the hope we need to persevere. Having the Holy Spirit dwelling in us helps us understand that even the small part of the depths of this great love. When a man's hope is in God, it cannot be turned to dust and ashes. When a man's hope is in God, it cannot be disappointed. When a man's hope is in the love of God, it can never be an illusion. God loves us with an everlasting love backed by an everlasting power. So this morning, as we conclude, I want us just to think about those different things as we continue to navigate and deal with the fallout from coronavirus and how that's affected our lives individually, how it's affected the world, how it's affected our church. We need to think of these verses, think of these moments that encourage us to have endurance, to continue to focus on who God is. This idea of having a baseline of praise and rejoicing for God. Understanding that we should anticipate trials and be ready for them because that's a part of Christian life and life in general. To know what the spiritual building blocks are so that we can have the character and the fortitude to endure. And to never, ever forget the evidence of the hope that we have, which is the Holy Spirit in us. When you and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and we accept him into our lives, we receive the Holy Spirit. And that is the evidence that we have, that he loves us, that he's going to help us endure and see it through these times. Let me pray for us this morning. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it continues to show us how to navigate challenging situations. Lord, at times in our humanity, we look for answers, and when we look to certain places, we come up empty. We don't know what to think or what to believe, but your word can give us the hope that we need, the understanding that we need to focus and to spiritually navigate these tough times. And so, God, I just lift up every person who is watching this, every person who is a part of Bucharest International Church, who calls this church their home. God, I pray as we continue to navigate, Lord, the fallout and the consequences of coronavirus and the restrictions, God, you will just help us to continue to develop long-suffering, patience that comes to understanding who you are and how much you truly love us. God, I pray a blessing over everyone in the week ahead. Lord, as we learn tomorrow about what the restrictions are going to be or what ones are going to change, God, just continue to allow us to have the patience to get through this. And Lord, we look forward to the day where we can gather together, everyone fully with no restrictions, and worship you as a body of believers. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. In your name, amen.